Good afternoon, and welcome back to Naturalistic Support. I'm Arnel Doré, and joining me today are Sharon Stanley, who we have on the line, and Elaine Durbach, who we do not have on the line, who we're trying to connect to. If you can hear this, Elaine, Sharon had suggested that maybe you try calling in.
Hi, Arnel.
Hey,
hi,
Sharon.
Elaine. I miss you.
Yeah, we miss you, Elaine. Hopefully you can join us one way or another. Not sure why the why this connection is not working, but bear with us, listeners, and we'll try to give you a good program anyway. Okay, naturalistic support is a unique approach to lasting personal growth and healthier, more satisfying relationships. On Naturalistic Support, we help each other, combining a progressive understanding of our human experience with peer support. So that involves you calling us to talk about yourselves and to talk to each other. Our number is 212-209-2877. And today, we'll be taking a look at how believers and non-believers get along and some ideas that they might share and how they might cooperate to make this a better world. Over the last 10 years in the United States, the number of atheists and agnostics has doubled, and the percentage of American adults with no religious affiliation is also on the rise. In the most recent study, this was conducted by Pew, it reached 29%, and that makes it the largest segment of the U.S. population by religious identification. But despite these demographic trends, being a non-believer can be challenging. Are you a believer with non-believing family or friends? Or perhaps you're a non-believer and you're navigating through this believing world. Either way, we'd like to hear from you to tell us about your experience with belief. Again, our number is 212-209-2877. Despite many right-leaning people claiming that Christians are an endangered species, in reality, non-believers face discrimination and marginalization in a variety of ways. Sharon, maybe you can continue from here.
Sure.
Yeah.
The challenges of disbelief. Number one. A non-believer, such as an atheist, agnostic, secular humanist, or freethinker, often encounters a range of challenges. One is social. Non-believers are often distrusted or misunderstood. Being non-religious is often perceived not as a neutral stance, but as a moral deficiency. This is a quote from Phil Zuckerman, the sociologist of secularism. B, you get pressure sometimes from family. Young people coming out as atheists often face emotional distress, loss of support, or cultural alienation. One quote, I told my family I no longer believed and they said I was possessed by the devil.
Yeah.
Anonymous respondent from recovering from religion surveys. C, another way is institutional. Non-believers may face bias in child custody cases, and although it's unenforceable in seven U.S. states, constitutions still bar atheists from holding public office. Another way is marginalization in public life. Many public rituals and institutions are infused with religion, such as prayer in public meetings. Under God, in the Pledge of Allegiance, religious invocations at government events. This can create a sense of exclusion or second-class citizens for non-believers. In the book, American Atheist Identity, authors Christopher Silver And Thomas Coleman write, religion is the default cultural framework in many societies, making secularism seem unnatural or adversarial.
Yeah.
Should I go on?
Yeah, sure. There's another section or two, so yeah, go do that.
Okay. There's also misconceptions about morality. I know, I think I've gotten this one. Non-believers are often accused of lacking morals or purpose, despite strong evidence that secular people live ethical, compassionate lives. Studies show that countries with higher percentages of non-believers, for example, Scandinavia, are often more peaceful, prosperous, and egalitarian. Then there's global risk and persecution. According to the Freedom of Thought report by Humanists International, in 13 countries, being an atheist is still punishable by death?
In 13 countries, punishable by death. Yep.
In many other countries, expressing non-belief openly can lead to imprisonment, mob violence, or exile. Isn't that how they used to treat people who were gay?
Yeah, but apparently being an atheist is just as bad.
Okay, Andrew Copson, former president of the Humanist International, writes, for many atheists in the world, the choice is silence or death.
Are you an atheist, an agnostic, a skeptic, a humanist, maybe an ethical culturist? Is that what they call them, Sharon? Ethical culturists?
That's one way of putting it, yes. Okay. I'm an ethical humanist. That's how ethical, I identify.
Yeah, because your organization is called Ethical Humanist, right?
It's still the same umbrella. We all decided on different names. I don't know what that was about either.
Right, okay. Or are you some other kind of free thinker? Have you faced discrimination? Have you been discriminated against or marginalized? Call us and tell us about your experience. Our number is 212-209-2877. Here in the United States, there is a strong effort by activist Christians to use government for furthering their proselytizing and occupying government aspirations. They actually would like to replace the secular government with a religious government, with a Christian nationalist government. And when I say they, I mean many activists in the evangelistic Christian community, in the Reformed Church community. It is pretty insidious and pretty widespread. Just last week, there was an event at the White House, and it was the White House Faith Office Luncheon, and hosted by Donald Trump last week. And here's a little clip about what they had to say about being an atheist.
Well, the people in this room are amazing. I even, looking at that list, I really said, that's something great. And you're all believers. I think, Paula, you wouldn't have invited people that were not a lot of. Is there an atheist in the room? Any atheists? I don't think so. I wouldn't want to raise my hand if I were. I'd be in big trouble.
Yeah. So what do you think of that, Sharon?
I think it's frightening.
It is frightening. Absolutely. Just a note to Reg. We have Sharon Elaine trying to call in, and she said that she's calling the listener call-in line because she doesn't have an alternative number, hoping that you can give her an alternative number once you pick up. But she says no one's picking up, Reg. So if you can do that, that'd be great. And it's also when I unmute you, I'm getting that big wind tunnel effect, so I'm not sure what that is either. Sorry, listeners, for all these inside notes here, but we are a community radio station, and it's all right there for you to see. So, it's scary. It absolutely is. Now, the White House Faith Office is a government entity that was established by our president on February 7th this year through an executive order which replaced the prior Office of Faith-Based and Community Initiatives. Now, that one was started by none other than George Bush Jr.
Yes.
Jr.
I remember. Yes.
Yep. Its core mission, the core mission of the new White House Faith Office, is to support and coordinate faith-based organizations, community groups, and houses of worship to better serve American families and communities while promoting religious liberty and equity in federal programs and grants. For many people in the Freethought community, just the existence of such a government office is troubling. It really is troubling, isn't it, Sharon?
It is. It is. And I don't understand. I don't understand why more people aren't troubled by this. It shouldn't. In other words, it shouldn't just be troubling to atheists or agnostics. This really should be troubling to Jewish people and Muslim people and any other religion that falls outside of Christianity.
Yeah. It does. There are religious people that are troubled by the lack of separation of church and state still. And yet there are others in the religious community who have no intention of allowing our society to remain separated by a wall between church and state. Let's define some of what we're talking about. A lot of people get confused when we talk about atheists versus agnostics. Most of the confusion is about what the term agnostic means, and we'll talk about that. Right now, we have actually a caller on the line, so let us do that. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
Is that me?
Is that you, Myatt?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Myatt, I hope that today you can tell us about how you're feeling about the topic rather than giving us a whole heap of information that we cannot necessarily internalize all that quick. Just tell us about you. What do you think about this topic?
I will, but I also have to share a couple thoughts about this astounding, extraordinary program. First of all, I want to identify, and you really can't fully categorize whatever it is, there's no absolute truth, but I would say per the Kabbalah, and I would say I'm a free thinker, and of course, and a woman, a black woman, so of course I'm discriminated against.
Sure.
It's real, it's coming in heaps now, and to hear Trump, bad seed, talk about being connected to spirituality in any form is beyond astounding. If you ever think of doing interviews, because I heard more on WNYC with people like Matthew Taylor, I think his name is.
Yeah.
Does this, and Arnie picked it up recently. I can't recall.
Yeah, Maya, we have a bunch of other calls, so just want to hear about you. Just tell us about you and, you know, how you feel about this topic.
Because I live in the world. So the point is, and you were just talking about it, the point is this idea that Alito and Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, has about appeal to heaven, that particular flag, where they're justifying violence if you don't conform to their very strange white supremacist fascist view of Christianity.
Yeah, it is scary. It is absolutely scary. Yeah, yeah. Myatt, thank you. I'm gonna go on to the next call. Thank you. Call again. And our next caller, this is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling and where are you calling from? Hello?
I'm hi.
Yeah. Yeah, go right ahead.
Hi. Yeah, my name is Jeremy. I am a volunteer at Recovering from Religion Foundation, and I'm calling from California.
Ah, thank you, Jeremy, for calling in. That's great. I think I had some correspondence with one of your associates, Daniel, right?
Yes. He passed along to the ambassador team, people who are supposed to be representing the organization as a whole, and so he passed along to me, and I thought it was a wonderful opportunity to discuss the topic, and, you know, it's very much right in our alley.
Yeah. So tell us what you think of this, of what we're talking about here, Jeremy.
Yeah, of course. Whenever we're talking about religiosity, and we're talking about how non-believers and believers are going to coexist in a world, I think there's two important things that we really have to remember. And the first one is that we can coexist, and that there is nothing exclusive about either position within society, nor should there be.
Yeah.
And number two is that we also have to recognize that religions, and I think you touched on this a little bit earlier in your show, have caused some people a lot of harm. And that is what RFR does, is we work with people who have experienced this harm and are trying to recover from it, trying to ask questions in a comfortable and safe space where they're not going to be ostracized or judged for asking those questions, which is something that a lot of people don't have access to when they're going through this. They're just kind of dragged back into the environment that caused them the trauma in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we have with us on the line, we have Sharon Stanley, who's actually a member of your organization.
Oh, fantastic. I did not know that you also work with RFR. That's wonderful.
Yes, you're the Recovery from Religion Foundation, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, yes, I think I have joined. Yes, I know I've joined in the past. I have. If I did not this year, that is an oversight, and I will rejoin.
Well, that's wonderful. We love when with all the support that we get. And you know, I personally work as an ambassador. I also lead support groups. We have a lot of support groups to get people, you know, an opportunity to talk about some of the issues they have. We're trying to ramp up our social media game with someone else that I'm working at in the organization as well, which is a wonderful way of outreach and getting more people to kind of be aware of the mission, which is basically you know, just emotional, psychological support for the stuff that people go through on this. But,
yeah,
it's a wonderful organization, and the mission that we focus on is not to deconvert people, which I think is an important thing to throw out there. Recovering from religion is not meant to try and convince people not to be religious. It is to help people who are struggling with their religiosity and losing their religiosity, losing their community, and dealing with some of the effectively consequences of that loss of belief, or for people coming from high control religions, some of the consequences of the trauma of that environment.
Now, Jeremy, is there a distinction between most religions and cults, and what is the distinction? Where do you draw the line? Because you know, when I think about people recovering from being brainwashed into a cult, it doesn't seem completely different than many people who are leaving religion. But maybe there is a distinction.
I think it's kind of a tricky line to draw, because some people are going to draw that line at, well, religions are the cults that have gotten large enough and popular enough that we don't consider them cults anymore. Cults are the small ones that nobody takes seriously anymore because they're not part of the main religions. But then there's also like a set of criteria, and I don't remember the criteria off the top of my head, of like certain things that an organization has to be doing, such as ostracizing people from outside groups, cutting people off from family and friends should they try and leave the group, or like certain markers that are generally considered markers of cults on a more technical level. And there are also religions that we do not consider cults who also engage in some of those same behaviors. If I was going to name, so like Mormonism and Jehovah's Witness communities are more likely to do that to former members than other groups. And so, yeah, it's really kind of a fuzzy line to draw. I think I tend to draw it on the technical level, but, you know, if someone is part of one of the religions that I might consider a cult, they're not going to consider themselves a cult, but they're going to consider all the other smaller religious beliefs.
Yeah, I've heard the line drawn by some, depending on the amount of control, because you mentioned earlier high control religions, and I have heard, I listened to this wonderful podcast that I recommend to all of our listeners, and I'm sure you're probably familiar with it. It's called Straight White Jesus. And it's really good. It's two professors of religion and kind of talking about the all the violations of church and state that we're enduring, that our republic is trying to stand up despite the onslaught of Christians that are trying to present the picture of being this persecuted minority, despite their, you know, complete ubiquity and dominance. It's astonishing.
I'm not actually familiar. I'm looking it up as you're telling me about it. I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very interesting dynamic, that Christian persecution complex, is what we generally refer to it as, which is like foundational to like the origins of the religion in a way. And it gets people in with that mindset. Not all Christians fall into that category by any means. We never want to paint with too broad of a brush. But the ones that do certainly seem to kind of do that. Well, I'm persecuted, not only does that reinforce my feelings, but that also gives me a reason to push back.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. So yeah, it's really good that you guys are available. Again, your organization is called Recovering from Religion, right?
That's correct.
And is it .org? People would find it online at recoveringfromreligion.org?
Yep, it's recoveringfromreligion.org. And at our website, we host a plethora of resources for people kind of going through this process through deconstruction or questioning their beliefs. We host support groups. We have more support groups every month than there are days of the month. Which is a really great resource. We have online and in person. We host groups for the LGBTQ+ community, for the disabled community. We have men's and women's groups, and we have a lot of location-based ones as well. We also have on chat agents available 24/7 for people who need more immediate help. We also partner with the Secular Therapy Project, which is an organization to help people find therapists who explicitly avoid religious based and focus purely on, you know, scientifically based therapy approaches.
Oh, that's great. The Secular Therapy Project. That sounds interesting. So yes, recoveringfromreligion.org. I recommend our listeners who are going down that path, which can be a very lonely and frustrating and difficult path to go down. Don't do it alone. And they contact you guys for some support.
Yeah, we definitely are open to anyone at any point in time in their journey. Even if you consider yourself fully religious, even if you plan on staying religious, it is absolutely welcome to anyone with any sort of questions, or even if you have family or friends who are going through it and you just want to understand or learn more about the process they're going through, it's also a great resource for that.
Jeremy, I thank you so much for your call and for sharing this with us and our listeners. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Thank you. Bye. And I think we actually have another caller on the line. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling? Where are you calling from?
Actually, another caller on the line. This is WBAI.
Oh, caller. Gee, we're having trouble here.
Listen to the radio. Listen to the phone. Listen to your phone, not to the radio. Oh, all right. Forget that one. Okay, yeah. We're going to go to the next one.
Yeah. Last caller. We just couldn't hear you. Okay, this is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling? Where are you calling from?
It's Gwen. I'm listening to the phone, not the radio, okay?
Yeah.
I wanted to say that I often have a lot of religious conversations with people. I had one this morning, and I was brought up as a Christian, and I did take it seriously. I was just Protestant, but I did take it seriously when I was younger. But I remember, my mother be like, "Don't take it too seriously." But as I got older and I really looked at Christ, really loved Christ, and Christ was a hippie radical Jew who got the death penalty and died. That's my cat Fox.
Yeah.
And, I think that people are so far away from Christianity today that it is stunning. And what I really think is stunning is how people on the very far right are actually trying to push to bring what they call end times to the world because they think that the Messiah will come back sooner. And here's the thing. Do they have no fear of God at all? You have no right to try to push for the end of the world because of what you want. It's just like there is no God anymore. There is no Bible. They just made up what they wanted to hear. They cherry-picked out of the Bible. And it's okay to be prejudiced. It's okay to be hateful. If you read the Bible, it tells you you're supposed to be worshiping God pretty much by yourself, not with anybody else. It's between you and God. It's not between you and the Vatican or 1,000 other people or being on TV. It really is supposed to be a very intimate, private setting.
Yeah, Gwen, I just want to say that I totally, totally agree with you that the key to live and let live is to recognize that our religious beliefs are spiritual beliefs, our supernatural beliefs are personal. As long as we keep it personal, as long as we say that's between you and your God or you and those people departed that you feel you're still in touch with or whatever, it's personal and don't expect to make that public. That's the key to maintaining our secular society.
Yeah, and I think you're sanity. And I would encourage your guests that, a fantastic place to be for non-believers and believers is to be on any 12-step program, which I think is an incredibly well-thought-out program, which has balance and spirituality. And, if your God is the chair, then so be it. But, it's trying to abide by everything that's, moral. And I think the other thing that 12-step programs talk about, and I think they're right, that don't just throw somebody to the side of the road because they are of a faith that you don't believe in, because there is always something you can learn from that. There is spiritual things in the Bible that are very, very helpful, whether you believe in God or whether you don't believe in God. How do you think we got to law? I mean, our laws don't say they're enshrined necessarily in the Bible, but they are. A lot of it's taken from the Bible. And so I think that it's kind of one of those things where you should take what you want and leave the rest. I know that for me, I've thought about this, and I know that if I was on my deathbed, I would not be saying, "Oh, chair, save me." The first word out of my mouth is, "Oh, God, help me." Now, that's me. That might not be you, but, I think that if you want to be a good Christian, if that's what you believe in, then respect is the first part of being a Christian. Respect what other people believe.
Yeah.
You don't have to, believe what they believe, but, I think, again, I want to just go back to the arrogance of the far-right Christians today. How dare they try to bring this planet to the end so they can speed up the Messiah coming? How dare they?
Yeah.
Against God. How dare they try to think they are God? That's a big thing for me.
Yeah, Gwen, thank you so much for your call. Really appreciate it. Call us again.
Thank you.
All right. Bye bye. And Reg, I don't know where we are. Have we taken care of what's on the board so far?
We still got two more calls.
Okay. Let's get to that. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling?
Reggie. Tell him. Hello.
Hey, is that Mayat again?
No, please answer. No, this is someone else.
Oh, okay. Hello? Hello? Yes, you're on the air.
Hi. Is that me?
Yeah, that's you.
Okay, it is kind of hard to hear. And also calling up, a number of times. As soon as I finished the number, I got disconnected about 12 times.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so, much apologies to you and anyone else who's going through that. Who's calling? What's your name? And where are you calling from?
My name is Josie from the Bronx. Yeah.
Hey, Josie.
I'd like to say that thank you for this topic. It might offend some people, but I've been an atheist all my life. I was brought up that way, so I always thought, even if I wasn't, I think I would be, well, I don't mean to offend anyone, smart enough to see that way anyway, because same thing with the kids. I think after 6 or 7 or 8, you start to question. And all my friends in elementary school, they always knew where I stood and how I felt, but I respected them. Now, my mother was Jewish background and atheist. We were political. My father was of Catholic background, and from the stories I remember and the things that he wrote, he had been an altar boy and went to one priest and with questions because he was an avid reader and a leftist, and the priest said, you're consorting with the devil, go cleanse yourself.
Oh, God.
And the priest said, you just must have faith, my son. So that's what a lot of it comes down to and what people tell me. But to me, when you hear or you look through the Bible and you hear a Reverend Barber talk, that's the type of religion, or Dr. King. But there's so many contradictions in the Bible, it never really seems to...
Yeah, well, that's the problem. You know, that document has been used to support very progressive things, but also even more has a long history of supporting horrible stuff like the conquering and the colonialism and the enslavement of people and the victor take all. I mean, we have all kinds of theologies that rationalize any human condition, and that's the
difference
difference, Josie, between social science, which tells us things that we can rely on about the human experience, about people, versus this ancient source of information from 3,000 years before people had science. And those kinds of ancient sources are bound to be faulty. Although we have people that will, swear that there's this amazing wisdom in these texts, but I don't see it. You know,
in between everything else.
Yeah.
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 And the ancient book, I mean, Netanyahu quotes the First Testament. I mean, there's horrible, horrible, horrible things.
Yeah.
It's been written more progressive as years went on. But I've never hit the way I felt, though, if I'm with a lot of religious people, I usually say I'm secular or I'm a human.
Yeah.
I won't go. I don't want to offend them and make them.
You mean you don't want to say the A word?
The A word.
I hear you, Josie. Josie, thank you for your call. Call us again. Appreciate it. And I think we have one last call on the line. We can also take your call at 212-209-2877. Apologies if you're having trouble getting through. Don't let that discourage you. Sooner or later, like all these callers who are coming on, you will prevail. Got to have faith, I guess. okay, this is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling? Where are you calling from?
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, hi. Who's calling?
I'm going to make it very quick. Whenever somebody says, are you a believer? When I was a kid, I used to think, believe in what? My parents did send me to church. But as I grow to be a woman, I always say, I believe that religion is about goodness. I always start the dialogue that way. And usually, no matter what teaching the person follows, they agree with that. And then sometimes in dialogue, I'll say, well, how does your teaching manifest in creating value in your daily life? And a whole lot of dialogue stems from that as well. So from my standpoint, you know, when you say, are you a believer or are you a non-believer, you really have to question in what and how it relates to you as the caller before you. And mostly I believe that religious teachings, all of them are about goodness and teaching people how to create value in their daily lives and with each other. And that's kind of the long and the short of it, period.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, unnamed caller. So I think that catches us up on our calls. Let's take our halfway break, and we'll be right back. Call us again at 212-209-2877.
You're listening to Naturalistic Support right here on 99.5 FM. WBAI New York.
Non-commercial, listener-sponsored.
Peace and Justice Radio.
On Wednesdays from 2 to 3, Naturalistic Support is taking listener calls, offering a revolutionary new way to think about ourselves and reach out to each other.
I just wanted to call in to give encouragement to the last caller.
It hit right on where I am right at this moment.
You really hit the proverbial nail on the head.
I really connected with what you were saying about loneliness.
We are hardwired to help each other.
Getting past the blame, owning your own truth, letting go of judgmental thoughts.
I felt so fortunate to hear this.
You went through every single one of the things that I've been working on with my life. Now you said all that, I'm like, holy cow, what is this guy doing? Is he talking to me right now?
The Naturalistic Revolution is a game changer. Listen to us break it down on Wednesdays from 2 to 3.
I want to thank you so much. You helped me so much.
We have another caller on the line. Let's get that. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling? Where are you calling from? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hey. Where are you calling from and who's calling?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay. I'm calling from Brooklyn.
Yeah. What's your name?
Brian.
Hey, Brian. Yeah. What you got to tell us, Brian?
I grew up as a younger person, but as I grew older, and I'm 62 years of age at present, I don't believe in the concept of the Bible. Mm-hmm. I don't consider myself an atheist, but I believe if I don't do it, it's not going to get done.
Yeah.
I've seen personally where officers go into courtrooms and put their hands on the Bible and swear, and they're lying at the same time and not telling the truth.
Yeah.
I've witnessed that for myself personally.
Yes, the Bible doesn't automatically make someone tell the truth, that's for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've seen in churches where I've seen pastors that have healing power, but in my looking at it, I think there are some people that's born with the gift to heal, but because they're wrapped up in Christianity, they feel that power is coming from an outside source. We think that power was already in them already to be a healer in life.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, no. Brian, thank you for your call, man. I appreciate it. We've got a couple other calls online that we want to try to get to, but thank you. Call us again. Okay. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
Yeah, good afternoon. This is Victor from the most diverse borough of Queens.
Hey, Victor.
Okay. I love your show. But one thing, well, actually, I just want to say two words that will help people understand the difference between belief and fact, okay?
Yeah.
And the two words are fact and belief. Belief is not a reality, and fact is a reality. People that believe or is not into reality, but if there's a fact that they can kill, then they can see this is for real. So when they're into a belief type of a thing, they're like wishful thinking.
Yeah.
But it's not really a fact.
Right. Well, you know, Victor, you're raising a very interesting point, which is, you know, there are things that we can all say is objective reality, right? There are things that we can all share. And, you know, there's a chair here. Everybody sees a chair. And we can all agree that's a chair. We can agree to call it a chair. And then there are things that are so personal and unique to us that we shouldn't pretend that everybody sees your dead mother in the corner talking to you. We shouldn't pretend those things. That's. I'm not going to tell anyone that if they do see their dead mother talking in the corner to them, I'm not going to tell anyone you're hallucinating. I'm going to say, okay, but you don't expect that I hear her too, do you? I mean, you know, it's personal, right? This is between you and whatever you're experiencing or imagining you're experiencing. There, we have to draw the line between personal and public, and that's really a big tension today. It shouldn't be in tension the way it is, and at earlier times in our republic, we recognized that those things should be separated by a thick wall, but now that's becoming a very permeable surface, and it's scary, and it's problematic.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
This is a real, I mean, it's like very, very interesting how people have this division of, if you're into the belief thing, it brings you comfort. And as long as you have that comfort, you'll settle and deal with that, and that will be fine by you. But a person like me, as an atheist or whatever, I totally love a fact, something that is real, something, and accept what it is for real, and then work around that as a human being, because it is what it is within the natural realm.
Yeah.
When you're into the faith or the make-believe or wishful thinking, because, you know, I have a problem with that. And me as an African-American within my own family, which I do understand how it got to be it is for most African-Americans, very, very extreme religious in slavery, they still want to hold on to the fact that, well, you know what, I'm going to rely on God and I'm going to be all right. And don't challenge God. How dare you, you know, question God? Well,
yeah.
Do that, whatever, but wow, I would rather accept reality, bad than good. Like I tell people, my friends, people I know, the world, everything in reality is good and bad. You have to have bad to accept the good.
Yeah, and Victor, you know, you said some important stuff there about being an African American and having a family that has a lot of believers in it, and the tension that must cause. And, you know, this relates to our second guest, Jeremy, who called up representing the Recovering from Religion organization. And that might be worth it for you to check that out, recoveringfromreligion.org. And I also recommend that to our other listeners because, you know, if you're going through what you're going through, we can rest assured that there are many, many others that are experiencing the same challenge. So thank you for sharing that with us, Victor. Appreciate it.
I just want to say one thing real fast.
Yep.
The age I am, I'm 72. I don't look it, but I started to understand and realize the fact of fiction. And it doesn't bother me now with my family, because we all accept, they accept me because, you know, I'm not going to, I'm still my ground. Not that it's crazy like that, but I had to awakening when I would go to church when I was like 13, 12. And there's something very interesting the pastor would say, like, well, you know, if you die, and you're going to either go in damn in hell, and if you don't, you know, you have a chance to go to heaven and all that kind of stuff. And then there's another thing that was very, very interesting. Wow. That this planet, the world, whatever, is like 6,000 years old. Like, you know.
Yeah, the young earthers. Yep. Victor, thank you for your call, and we'll talk to you again in the future. Thank you, my friend. And we have another caller on the line, and we also have time to take a couple more callers if you want to call in on this topic. We're talking about belief and non-belief. Our number is 212-209-2877. Sharon, you still with us?
I'm still here.
Good, good, good. So, yeah, it sounded like Victor could definitely benefit from that organization that you're part of.
It's, you know, it is real. People don't realize. I had friends who were obviously or sadly abused going to Catholic school. And some of it was, you know, as mundane as being hit on the wrists because they were writing with their right hand and not their left hand. You know, and then, of course,
or the other way around.
And or it was worse. Yeah. Yes. So, yes, there is abuse involved. And I think the Recovering from Religion Foundation would be so helpful for that.
Yeah. And psychological abuse, not just physical abuse. So certainly there's a wide range of abuses. Let's get our next call. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling? Where are you calling from? Hello.
Yes.
Hi. Hi. Who's calling?
Hi, my name is Fidel.
Fidel, hi. Where are you calling from?
Jersey City.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you've called us before, Fidel. Thank you for calling in.
Many times.
Yeah.
I enjoy the conversation. I wanted to talk about, I don't know.
If you could try holding the phone a little closer, we're you're going in and out, your signal there.
Okay, can you hear me better?
Yeah, now we hear you better. Go on.
So I'm trying to figure out if it's about belief or religion, because it seems like we are mainly discussing religion. So I'll go off on that based on that this is what I was thinking the topic was.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to please, no insult to anybody, okay? But number one, let's not turn this into a Christian, Catholic thing. Because in my opinion, I'm anti-religion. I'm anti-identity and anti-religion. I think they are destructive forces that create an illusion only to make us feel better or different from. And you know, the other thing that I want to try to emphasize is that all the three major religions, what do they rely on? Money. Take the money away if religion is still popular. It is a business. It's like government. It's like any club.
Yeah. Fidel, let me just ask you, though, in terms of your own journey and your own life, have you been, has your beliefs put you in conflict with people in your life, like family and friends?
Thank you for asking that question. Because that's at the crux of all of this, because it became an epiphany of mine.
Mm.
I was born gay. I am gay since a very young age. I made that connection.
Yep.
Very early on. I come from a very strict macho environment, and that topped off with Catholicism. So imagine those two worlds meeting a young gay kid. It was horrible. I went to the Anita Bryan ministry.
Oh man, they tried to brainwash you out of your gayness, huh?
Miserably. I'm so happy to report back. And
then you survived it.
What I did was I started picketing her event at 21st Street and Collins Avenue at the Holiday Inn, because she got that fruit pie in her face.
Yeah.
Very happy to report that I was outside picketing them with all my gay fellow comrades.
Yeah, for our listeners who don't know, Anita Bryant really kind of went on a campaign. Was it in the early 80s, I think,
late 70s.
Late 70s, early 80s. Very, very anti-gay campaign. And she had been like a spokesperson for like orange juice or something.
She was a model.
Yeah.
The spokesperson for Tropicana orange juice.
Yeah.
Even for Florida State. Was the face of Orange. She was forced record with.
Yeah, so it sounds like you've had to live a life where you charted your own course and also stood up for what you believed in.
Yeah, absolutely. But more importantly than that, I see, because I'm very curious, always have been. So the other thing that's striking to me is that all three major religions, the other two, always cite the Bible, and I'm like, oh, so this is like the doctrine that you guys all run to? I don't get it. I mean, the whole thing for me is absurd, and it plays on people. And notice the people that are the most religious are the ones that least have anything. And the other striking thing is that they always pray after an event that God help them after the event.
Yeah. That's
so powerful. Why didn't he prevent the event from ever happening?
Absolutely. And people, will lose like three children, and their fourth one, they manage to hold on to during like a catastrophic storm, and they'll say, thank you, God, for the, instead of being angry about the first three. Fidel, call us again. We have to wrap up now, but thank you for your call, and call us again. Okay, and Sharon, it's that time again. We have to wrap up.
I'm so sorry. The show went so quickly. There was so much more to talk about.
Absolutely. You've been listening to Naturalistic Support. I'm Arnell Doré. Joining me today was Sharon Stanley. Thanks to our engineer, Rich Johnson, and to Hilla Weiss for her support. Tune in again next Wednesday at 2 p.m. for another edition of Naturalistic Support. Archived editions of our program can be found on our website at wbai.org and at equaltimeforfreethought.org. Hi to my foster mom, Marilyn. And remember, always try to be kind, because you never really know what someone else is going through.